I'm just going to ask one last question, like, because of the long time since I felt that thrill. I forgot to ask, like, did Ted have freedom to play that bass line? Then did he sort of make it cut up kind of thing?
Did you let him do whatever he wants?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. Or... Yeah, I want, you want Ted to play his natural game. I mean, he probably doesn't as much anymore. He brought more, you know, because, I mean, you know, I mean, we'll get through to some of the later records in subsequent chats, but, you know, I mean, on Drive Through Heart Attack, I probably played 7 or 8 bass lines on that record. So, yeah, I played a lot of the bass on that record. Ted probably lost a bit of interest in coming up with, yeah, back when he was more sort of enthusiastic, he probably brought a bit more to the table with his bass ideas. But, yeah, if Ted's got something, we'll get to Footage Missing next time. But he's got that great David Bowie slap bit on. Yeah. Yeah. And that's Ted's, that's it, really in Ted's wheelhouse as a bass player, because, you know, he sort of grew up being kind of into slap and funky sort of bass and stuff, which is sort of jars with the Fauves. But when you can get elements of it in there, it's really good. And so if Ted wants to get a little bit exploratory, then yeah, go for it. We'll start, yeah, definitely. So, and he does on that track, and to good effect, yeah.
Yeah, and also on that song, it had a unique 70s sound quality. That was amazing how you achieved that.
That's his era. That's what he loves.
Yeah,
that's maybe he produced it, yeah.
Welcome back to Fauves Are the Best People. I'm your host, John, and joining me is regular co-host, Michael. Hello, Michael.
Oh, hello, John. Hello, wonderful, amazing, great Fauves fans and listeners.
What song are we reviewing today, Michael?
Once again, one of my top favourites, the best song in the world, It's Been a Long Time Since I Felt That Thrill, an amazing title.
Wow. This appears as track 2 on the Medium Pacer single, released November 2000, and it says Julian Burnside mixed it, so it was probably recorded in the album proper sessions. It wasn't mopped up later. That's a bit of background to this song. Michael, I can't remember. It's so long ago or so long in the future. Are you joining us for the Medium Pacer episode? Are you a fan of the main song?
Yeah, yeah, big fan. And it just sort of reminds me of the big package of talking about when we were talking about Bigger Than Tina 1 and 2 and getting into 1,000 Yard Stare. CDs released. Good that they were still doing singles, so there was lots to buy. I think it was at HMV or somewhere nearby, or maybe in Myers itself when I was working at Myers. And it was kind of cool because, yeah, Medium Pace was such a cool song. Loved it. And then just to buy this and have this on the B-sides, along with Get Into Retail, it was just like another good little package. And as we did talk about, I think, before, maybe there was a few, but I think there was definitely one of the only ones. Celebrate the Failure was one of the only sort of singles that I loved all the B-sides on. So this, once again, I only made 2 out of the 3 that I like, and this is one of them. And like you mentioned, John, it does have a good, really good quality recording. You can hear it, and it's very uniqueness, the type of reverbs and sounds they had. It just sounds like it's recorded in a completely different, another room, world, century, decade, 70s or something. And it's just, it's mind-blowingly brilliant what they've done with this song. And no wonder why we've never sort of heard it live, because I'm sure they just would not be able to, you know, do it justice.
Yeah, no, you're certainly right. It's a great production. Like, the bass is great, the tone, the drums, very good, and there's nice changes in it. But for me, it's been a long time since we've had such an unremarkable Coxie B-side for me. I don't know, where do you want to start first? Music, lyrics, or?
Get right in the music. So, hugely amazing, unique, amazing keyboards, riff and sound, like such a different sound.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, well, in terms of their other songs, okay, like where it's dressed up. So it's not so much the sound itself. It's like, wow, this is such a cool keyboard sound. It's so really cool where it fits in with the rest of the mix and the song. Mm. And they don't really use that keyboard sound in other songs. And most of, I think maybe it was more of a Lazy Highway thing. They were using a very similar keyboard sound, unless I'm just sort of making that up just from generalized memory, whereas you've got something maybe that sticks out more and they were kind of doing it a little bit more, you know, electronic thing on the album anyway. So you just can kind of hear, oh, I think we did talk to Coxie about this, about just finding unique sounds. And he's saying, oh, gee, I don't know if I got that particular keyboard anymore. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, it's just, that's cool in terms of the music, slight acoustic guitars, very in the background, yep. That just adds to it. Lots of drum riffs, fills, drum fills, getting into each verse and stuff. Yeah, and just the nice guitars when it's just sort of that chordy stuff. Basically, yeah, like for me, like you got the guitars and everything and the melody and Coxie singing in the way, it's me in a long time, you know, it's just voice cracking up, but just his still in tune and his uniqueness. And then obviously, to me, mainly the keyboards and the bass sticks out. And Ted on bass, you can really sort of hear it. So I can give you just, guys, just a quick example of his octaves and stuff if you'd like.
Yeah, please. It's something a Jack definitely wouldn't do, I think. It's not something he'd be inclined to do. Yeah. Different, yeah.
No, and that, like we talked about Jack and Ted's styles, for me, I find it easy to work his out because he will go by a scale. So I do have that in me as well, embedded as a player. I mean, as well as a creative side. But like, oh, if he's just doing octaves or he's just doing a feel, it's not that hard to work out. So it's just like you can hit, and I love how the bass punches out. So. He does it fill at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then just. Good. Then it just gets into the root notes along with the guitars and the rhythm and you're quieting it down, keyboards quieting down. And then when it gets towards the ends of the verse, he goes. Yeah, and then just back into the chorus. And then the bridge has got some sort of weird chord changes going in and he's just doing a slight feel again. I love the end. It's just the same riff, but it's just. Just doing all that all the way up and down, just like playing the octaves and going really fast. And yeah, really cool. So that's what really sort of stuck out as me, but just that cool keyboard sound, really cool bass line, guitar just doing its thing that it needs to. It's not the. It's still sort of the main thing. And then Coxie's nice melody and the way it's recorded with that certain unique reverb. And, oh, female backing vocals. It's been a long time.
Is it?
Not sure
is
who
it a
that
female?
Is.
Oh, okay.
Is it?
I don't know. Rebecca Barnard, is that her name? She played some tracks, but I don't know if it was this one. Interesting. Could be.
Well, I might have another listen to it, and then when we get into our next episode on getting to the retail, I'll just confirm that. So we'll be just around the corners, listeners, to see if I'm corrected or not. Like, I won't research it. I'll just listen to it in headphones. Otherwise, who else is doing that? Is that Ted with a really girly voice, or is it someone else? But it just sounds like a female voice to me anyway.
Yeah, no, it's quite possible. I just that it didn't immediately jump out as at me as being a female voice, but it could be. Rebecca was on some of these songs, yeah.
Very low in the mix kind of thing. Things need to be in the mix, yeah.
Yeah, you're right, Mike. I do like the end of this song, the backing vocals, and I'm sort of like, where was this arrangement for the rest of the song at the start? Like maybe this could have been a really fun a cappella song or like a barbershop song or like a Greg the stop sign, been a long time since I've it. Maybe it would have been a bit more interesting to me anyway. I can tell you really enjoy it. The keyboard bit, are we talking about that main arpeggiated bit? To me, that just makes me, I don't know, it just sounds a bit corny to me, but each to their own, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's been a long time. Chords, the guitar is, it's all pretty much in the key of A.
Yeah, A and.
So the rhythm, the verse is A. C. D. So A, it's been a long time since I felt that thrill. C, smoky room from a D, strange girl. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4. It's been a long time since I felt that thrill. Smile across his smoky room from a strange girl. Letter in the mail, just got out of jail. You know that she loves you still. And then the chorus, A, C, F sharp minor, A, C, F sharp minor, B minor. And then A. It's been a long time, A, since I felt that thrill. It's been a long time, C. F sharp minor, felt that thrill. It's been a long time since I see. It's F sharp minor, B minor. It has been, and then the bridge is D, A, long, long time. It has been a long time. And then another A, and then B minor, long time. And then it slows down. A, C, D. It's been a long... And you said his voice cracks a little bit in the chorus, does it?
Yeah, it's just his natural... Oh, like, I don't think it's, you know, his just range, how he comes. Sorry.
Long time, A, since I felt that thrill. It's been a long C, C. And then F sharp minor, since I felt that thrill. Ooh. And then it slows down a bit and just A a lot for a few bars. And then C, D. Sort of reminds me a little bit of Jim Fix then. And then in the last verse, it's just down strums, like on the guitar. And that's the song, really. So a bit of Daughter Abroad.
Daughter abroad, better off than what is.
What a flashback. Yeah, that's all really I've got. I mean, it's a great production. The as you said, the bass is doing something fun and melodic and inventive, and the drums have that little part in the bridge that's quite fun and some nice chops there. And, yeah, I like it when Coxie's got, he sort of strains his voice a little bit. It has been a long, long time. For some people, that might be a bit embarrassing, but for me, I like it. I like it.
I like it. Moving on to the lyrics. Yeah, no, I like it. It's just his unique vocal sound, and it's just sort of just a description. It doesn't sound like it's out of tune or that it's wrong or that he's going to, you know, get vocal nodules or anything like that. He does that a lot, so I'm sure he's fine.
So I saw that Trump's response was to say he's not thrilled, which I think is an admission that he makes all of the foreign policy decisions based on what thrills him. So I actually think that whenever people come to a summit, bring a stripper.
Yeah, lyrics. I really like this sort of song too. Like when I was compiling my B-sides album before Prefer Others came out, because that was, it was probably about the time when, yeah, like they'd stopped releasing singles. So it's like, okay, well, there's no more singles coming out. So I'm going to make my own. What's my favorite singles? Because it was sort of, I was in the thing of, at the time, a 5-disc CD player, because, you know, I wouldn't have hard drives that would cater for the enough gigabytes to have everything on iTunes on my computer or a system yet. But then when I started to have that, before I started to have that, I thought, well, I want to compile all the B-sides together because I'm listening to a few songs at a time, just those old days. And I called it, it's been a long time since I've heard that Fove's B-side thrill, you know? Because it would literally be like that. You might listen to the album or I'd go see them live and a new album would come. I'd get to know the new songs and I just sort of... I probably mentioned this before, maybe in a few Thousand Yard Stairs song, but this was the era for me where you're getting to 2000 and between 2000 and 2008, every 2 years, like the prior albums as well, there was a new album coming out, but it wasn't about being promoted or singles. It was just like a whole new bunch of songs and they're just playing all these random places that would find. It'd be a small crowd or a big crowd. It'd be good. And I just find these songs really sort of all a whole big mix in the big picture rather than like, say, Lazy Highways and Future Spa. It was like a full album all the way through. So saying that, I just like... You know, liked all these unique songs and B-sides you wouldn't hear live. So this is one that was just very rarely heard of because I don't hear it perform live. Putting it on a compilation, But the nostalgia is a main, is a big thing, imagery in terms of lyrics. I'll just point, I won't go through all of them. You can go bit by bit in a minute or what I've missed, but a letter in the mail, just things like that. Because, you know, I remember Coxie saying in one of the interviews, he goes, oh, yeah, you know, we still like to write and you get shred. And I like, you know, everything's email, that's electronic. You know, this is 1998. And he goes, the yes. romantic charm of a letter, you know, in the mail. First band I managed to sit through. Yeah, it's like going through those support bands to get to the band that you like.
Yeah.
4 and 20 Blackbirds, Perched on a Windowsill, Aussie. General John Monash looking back at me from a $100 bill. Just doesn't matter who that is on the, if you know who the mole on the notes, you just know those notes. If you're Australian, even if you're not that rich, you'll know of a $100 note. A plastic toy and a breakfast cereal. Gore-Tex gloves. Fallen in love in a supermarket aisle.
Yeah, what did he say? Vortex or Gore-Tex? What?
I thought it was Gore-Tex.
What's Gore-Tex?
Gore-Tex. Gore-Tex, like just a, there we go, like we talked about with Don't Give Me the It's Not You, It's Me routine, you know, George Costanza. What's that? Gore-Tex, it's Gore-Tex, this thick jacket, so thick gloves for extreme cold, like when you're out snowboarding and stuff. And he might have brought that up due to their snowboarding adventures when they were playing up at the snow, just something he'd rush in there with lyrics. And I can.
Thank you, Mike. I'd never heard of that word. Never heard of it. I thought it was Vortex.
The laughter, that sort of. You know, Coxie's, you know, putting lyrics together, knowing how we've analysed him and we've spoken to him and he's admitted, just, you know, came up with the diet and put things together for the song. And I do that. We all do that. And that's fine. Yeah, that's just some nostalgia. The plastic toy, my breakfast cereal, $100 bill. I love how they rhyme. And that's in a nutshell or pretty much the vocals to me, the lyrics to me. What about you, John?
Well, for me, it's a little peer into how Coxie's nostalgic or he's a bit jaded about everything.
Mm.
Like I was inclined to interpret it, you know, but I think it's very surface level. It's not really going deep into Coxie's, you know, malay. But it's, yeah, it's sort of the world weariness of the title. It's been a long time since I felt that that thrill. So if you think about it, it's a bit sad and depressing, isn't it?
It is.
It reminded me a little bit of, hey, it's only my virile suit, you know, about dead to the thrill of living.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's a bit sad. But it's an upbeat sort of song. I always get confused whether it's been a long time since I felt that through or that thrill or that I have felt that through, the conjunctive. I wonder if Coxie deliberated on what the title should actually be because it's a bit of a... and there's a lot of songs like this in popular culture. Like, it's been a long, long time. It's been a long time since I've been seen you, my friend. It's been a long time since I left you, since I've been me. I've just Googled some of these. Since I saw you, since I felt real happiness, since I felt this good on my own. There's a lot of songs out there in popular culture. And it's interesting. This song, like, it's really basic chords. It sort of takes us back to the first EPs. Like these are the exact same chords as Daughter Abroad. Daughter Abroad, ba-ba-ba-ba-na say what is. And he's talking about long-lost relatives leaving me in the will. So in when luck ran out, they talk about wills and stuff.
Okay,
spent a time where I didn't want to say it's all just time we kill. How depressing is that, Michael? It's like, if you want to read it really, it's like your housemate who said, I'm just waiting for the night to finish, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and you wrote a song about it, which is funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a flash forward to Best Work Alone and Down All Day that are going to come up in a few albums' time. What else did I say? 4 and 20 Blackbirds Perched on a Windowsill. That's, of course, the children's song, you know, Sing a Song of Sixpence. Sing a Song of Sixpence, 4 and 20 Blackbirds Perched on a Windowsill.
Oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah, yeah.
So, obviously, that's a link there. To 5 cents by, because sixpence is 5 cents. General John Monash looking back at me from a $100 bill. So I always remember that bill in the early 90s, like my mum had one at Safeway or Coles, and she'd give it to pay for the groceries in like 1990, and the registrar would always like hold it up to the light to make sure it wasn't counterfeit.
Yeah.
And I'm always remembering, I don't know if you remember that one, but he's wearing like, if it's Mawson or whatever, Monash. I think it's Mawson is on the $100 bill in the 90s. And he's got like a balaclava on because he's in probably Antarctica. And I always thought, like, Mum, why is there a thief? Why is there a robber on the note? Because I thought the balaclava looked like a thief. Oh, I said, it's almost like a Morrissey-type title. And I could imagine, like, Morrissey singing, like, oh, Henry, it's been a long time since I felt that thrill. Oh, there's a line that never goes out. And the way that the chords go, it sort of reminded me it could be a bit of a Courtney Barnett or a Dan Kelly-type song where she's just strumming on her Telecaster. It's been a long time since I felt that through. Smile across his smoky room from a strange girl. A bit Courtney Barnett and her first album. And I like the sentiment. I like the sentiment, it's been a long time since I felt that thrill, which is a bit sad, but I don't know. All the examples he gives, like, how does that link to his melancholy? Is it just the nostalgia? Like, he misses seeing a girl in a smoky room, or he misses the $100 bill? Is that what he's saying?
It's interesting how everyone can think about putting all these together, and this is now starting to become repeated because there's a few songs that were like delving into his lyrics and some nostalgia. And whether you want to look at it a negative point of view, a positive point of view, just to remembering thought, putting lyrics together, whatever. But I just feel I enjoyed it because I suppose I didn't focus on those lines. Just didn't focus on those lines that you just pointed out where it does say, you know, it's time we just killed and all this sort of stuff. Like, I just thought of the imagery was like, oh, yeah, $100 bill, 420 blackbirds.
Does he miss those things? That's the question. Like, he's saying it, you know, he misses that. Yeah, he misses the...
Yeah.
Seeing a band that he liked. Or he misses when he used to enjoy watching the support bands, but now he just smashes their CDs. I didn't quite see the link sometimes. It's just like a catalogue of things that aren't thrilling anymore. So he used to be thrilled, did he, when he was at a...
Yeah, well, you could look at it like that way. What I'm just saying, you're correct, and you can probably really, I think, whatever the listeners would love to hear from you all, like what your points of views are from some of the lyrics, like when we just talked about it, maybe you might hear us, like in hearing us now talking about on the episode, and then say, I don't know, a few episodes later when we've got your audio file or you've handed in a letter or note, we'll just read it out just out of curiosity. Because what I'm saying is, yeah, you're right. You're probably absolutely right and you'd be the majority. But I have always looked at it to go, oh, just really good times, you know. And I'm not that kind of person to focus on it too much. Like, there are people out there, like, I'll give you an example. There's a friend of mine here in Canberra and, like, you know, and he loves some 80s music and maybe even some 90s and stuff and whatever, and there are some good uniqueness stuff, but I just feel, to me, it just feels being stuck because there's been so much innovation over those few decades. Yeah, completely. It's different. It's not the same thrill of, like, seeing those cover bands performing or going to the uniqueness when you are that young age and you're going out more, or you're just in a different mindset. You haven't experienced much. So, wow, this is going to sound awesome. But when you've heard so much music over time, and there's a scientific thing that I'm pretty sure I've talked about this on a previous episode, that when you are between 15 and 25, that's like whatever music you love then, that's going to be with you for the rest of your life. There is some studies on that. There is some science and thing involved in that. But for me, I look at, like, oh, the era of 2000, early 2000s, 2010, 15. Like, I could not believe how many good stuff was out there. I was just lucky enough to be out there live watching it or finding it out on YouTube. And even now, and 5 years ago, during the COVID times, looking at, like, what was just things are released differently. Like, you might not see them perform live. They do this video imagery and, like, a lot of a cappellas and stuff all on YouTube. And you can listen to it in headphones. And I just... Yeah, that's just an example of, like, I wouldn't want to be that negative person to get stuck into it. Totally fine to write lyrics about it or talk about it every now and then, but I just find there's some people that just... And that's them. That's fine. They just think, oh, there's not any good music written any day these days. And, like, look, to your own opinion, if you feel like that, you need to branch out. Come on, I'll just try and show you. I'll just expose yourself to a lot of stuff and you might get it. Won't be the same thrill, but... it's all different, but there's still things happening in each era and each year and decade and time of our lives. So I just looked at, like, hey, the plastic toy and the breakfast cereal, how cool, cool written song. Didn't feel any negativity of it in terms of lyrics, not that you're expressing that, but yeah, we could go on and on, but there you go.
Yeah, well, Coxie, there's someone new on the $100 bill. So, you know, Mawson had his time, or Monash or whoever. Don't worry, things change. Yeah, I was just trying to explain why this song doesn't really grab me, I guess.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to. Yeah. You know, you don't have to like every song.
No, it doesn't. Of course.
It's not funny, which it doesn't have to be, but it doesn't also feel emotionally true, which mm-hmm. is fine. But it sounds like it's alluding to something more about Coxie's being stuck. And then on top of that, the production's great, but just the actual song, right? The song doesn't grab me. So those are the three things. You reminded me too. You know, toys in cereal boxes. We got that in Australia, didn't we? Sometimes.
Oh, I remember it. Yeah,
maybe more in America. Yeah, but in America they have like you know missing kids are on their milk cartons and stuff. You know, like on murderers and stuff. Or they are in movies.
Still, or was, it, I think was so. That just a thing that used to happen? Okay.
Remember that movie Big, where. What's his name? Tom Hanks turns into a kid, a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
And they're at a break. He's with his adult friends, and he's like on the back of a milk carton saying, "This kid's missing."
We're officially on a tangent.
This is a great production. Like, it's a great recording. I just don't think it's a great song. But as you say, we don't have to look too deeply into these.
I think what did it for me was the music. And I can see, it just didn't grab you. And that's just like one other of the B-sides on this. Medium Pace single that didn't grab me, so this one did. That's why I'm here chatting about it and loving to hear from any listeners if they've got any things we've missed on the song that they want to chat about. Or because I'm really curious if people love this song so much as I do. I just feel like it's one of those ones where people were talking about B-sides of Future Spa saying, wow, this should have been a single. But that's it.
If any Morrissey impersonators out there, can you do like a mashup, a version that Morrissey would sing of the song? It's been a long time since I felt that thrill. 4 and 20 blackbirds on a window. Sorry, I can't do Morrissey, but I reckon it would be a great Morrissey torch song. Anyway, Michael, thanks for joining us on the podcast where we review all songs by the great band, The Foooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooooo
me when people use cliches as song titles. Or if I use a title I know somebody else has used before, I think it's a bit weak. I mean, I like Trouble in Your Blood because it sounds like a saying, but I don't think anyone else has said it. Mm. But you could imagine it as a book title.
Yeah.
Or My Wife and My Dead Wife as a movie. You know, they're all kind of... I think they should all work in another genre, you know, so that ideally somebody would make a movie or write a book with that title.
Oh, my name is John, and it's for a podcast about the Fives. Anyone else giving this a shot? I'm kind of getting this terrible feeling that I might be part of the problem. Do you think that guy from The Cure had any disruption with sales of the Smiths and vice versa? Like I don't, but they're both in the industry. Like, it's not the fans that have nobbled the band, is it? Yeah, been a long time since I felt that thrill. Yeah, look, this is a stayer. This always sounds good, and I guess, you know, in the privacy of my own home and my car, and listening to it always, and it's got the misanthrope, malcontent lyrics, which are just, yeah, what, did he write this for me? So I got that, but I loved that there was a, I'm not sure what they're calling it in America. I know they found a term for it. And I know in across the, you know, the Anglophiles, it was like, oh, the Phil Spector wall of sound. Now, it wasn't the same as, and it wasn't like 60s, but coming out of a time where, like, everything was, like, clipped and reverbed and, you know, compression, there was another side of it which where the spaces of the record were filled of, like, you know, keyboards and backing vocals, and it's just like from the moment the songs will kick off. And I guess when I hear this, it's like a picture, just such a, like, it's just such a grand entrance. Like, it's yeah, I'm old AF now, but, like, it's a timeless. Yeah, I hope they got to do this on the road to, you know, on a larger stage, like one of those ones where they kind of, you know, like, you know, let's use AI and have the band as a six piece playing this on the, you know, the pyramid stage at Reading, just at dusk, just as, yeah, the shadows are now solid. You can't be putting your beer down anymore. You'll lose it. And it's the things are like the rainbows are now flashing a lot brighter than they were under the sunlight. And it's, you know, it's an awkward time for everyone heading into the evening. And then, boom, this comes on. It's like, I love this song.
Hello, Foves friends. Lauren here, talking about another B-side. It's been a long time since I felt that thrill. Can I just get, like, a petition to get this song back in the set, please? Because, oh my gosh, why is it not a single? The music, I love it. It's so good. I really don't know what the lyrics are about, but I love the driving force of the keyboards and the guitar, and the movement of the song is really great, as well as the drum fill in the pre-chorus situation. Oh, it's so good. I'm not sure that I've ever heard this song played live, but I would love to. Coming back to the recording after listening to the lyrics again, I'm not 100% sold on the football theme of the song. The lyrics may need a little bit of a rework, sorry, but I would love to say that I feel this feeling when I go to a Phobes show, when I haven't seen them for a little while, which it will be by the time the next shows come around. I feel the thrill when I see the Phobes. So I can understand the lyrics, I guess, but I do love the driving force of the music, and I would love to hear them play it live someday with some enthusiasm from the crowd, preferably. And it seems like a good one for joking around too.
It's been a long time since I felt that thrill.
Love it. The breakfast cereal, the toy in there, and amazing. Yeah. Just imagery.
Is it about being a band or your life in general at that time?
Probably about my life in general, the sort of quotidian routine of daily life and, I don't know, yearning or hankering for something more exciting, I suppose. And, I really like that song too. Like there's a lot of the songs that didn't make it around this period I felt really strong, and I thought that was a pretty strong song too, but just wasn't room for it on the record.
Oh, what a shame. And I love that Ted bass playing on that. Amazing.
Yeah, just some great Ted bass playing.
Oh, bouncy.
Sure. Yeah.
Awesome. Such a shame it didn't make it.
But they were in just jeans and T-shirts, and they didn't really have a lighting show, and they didn't really say anything. There was no, like, are you ready to rock? There was no showmanship. And what became so clear to me was, like, this was friends playing music. Like, the recipe, it was like suddenly the curtain was pulled back. The recipe was clear. It was not as mysterious. Now, to get to the type of show Motley Crue was doing, there's still a mystery to that. I still can't figure that out. Like, I've tried. How do you even get to the point where you have pyrotechnics?
You need to get pyrotechnics, lots of wigs.
And I also don't understand, especially now in like the cost of touring and everything, like all that stuff is just eating into your bottom line. I'm like, why do that? I don't even get it. Why is Pink flying up above like Cirque du Soleil? I don't understand.
From year to year, tour to tour, I sit there and I say to myself, okay, where's my cold pizza? Because, you know, you can never do a runner and have warm pizza. It's physically impossible. The pizzas have to come before you're off the stage, and they come and they sit and they get cold.
Yep.
And so inevitably, you know, I know I'm on tour when I'm sitting in the back of a van somewhere, speeding down the freeway, eating cold pizza.
Put it on the engine, man.
Yeah, you know, you could wrap it up. You could wrap it in foil and like put it on top of the carburetor or something.
Foil schmoil, come on.
Yeah, I know.
It's greasy already.
It's been a long time, hey, since I've felt C. It's been a long, long time, F sharp minor and then B minor. then A, and then back to the verse. And the bridge bit is just D A A D D A A D A A A A B minor long time. 1 2 3 4. Wait. 1 2 3 4. 2 2 3 4. C. 1 2 3. 1 2 3 4. The D. A A A A A A A A C C C C C C D D A A A A A A A.